You are listening to the Back to the Bible radio broadcast, which is brought to you each week by the Creston and West Jefferson Churches of Christ. A warm and cordial invitation is always extended to you. There is no obligation placed upon you when visiting with us. The church in Creston meets just across from Roundabout Road on North Carolina Highway 88. The church in West Jefferson meets at 130 Robert Street, which is just behind the park in West Jefferson. Both churches will be meeting this morning at 10 a.m. for Bible study and 11 a.m. for worship. The church in West Jefferson will meet again this evening at 6 p.m. for another period of worship and again on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We welcome your questions and comments, which will be honestly and sincerely considered. Send them to us at Back to the Bible, 130 Robert Street, West Jefferson, North Carolina, 28694. Or they may be submitted online at wjchurchofchrist.org. We now invite you to open your Bibles and study with us as Tim Canup, the minister for the West Jefferson Church of Christ, presents another message from God's Holy Word.
Apostle Paul declared, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ." I don't have to tell you of the privileges of being a child of God, the great benefit. I want to call your attention this morning to one of the most popular psalms of them all, and I'm sure your mind and your fingers began turning immediately to Psalm 23. It's interesting to note that someone observed the psalm before and the psalm after have a distant connection. Someone titled Psalm 22 as the cross, where our Savior died for us and to save us from our sins. Chapter 23 describes the care. And chapter 24, the 24th psalm, describes the crown. It's a very interesting observation. Most Bible scholars attribute the 23rd Psalm to David, the young shepherd boy. David would have been well familiar with being a shepherd and the things involved in it, and this psalm serves as a great illustration of the complete trust that we are to have in our God and to the humble submission that we are to render to Him. The emphasis, interestingly, in the Psalms, and I'm not a language scholar, neither Hebrew nor Greek or even English for that matter, but those who know the language tell me that the emphasis in the original Hebrew is on the personal pronouns. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You see, there are similar teachings in the New Testament where Jesus made the great claim, "I am the good shepherd." And you know, that claim that He made is from the perspective of God. It depicts the faithfulness of our God. And that is contrasted to the hireling that is described in the same passage. But here in this psalm, the perspective is from us. It's our perspective. It's our viewpoint of our relationship with God, the dependency that we have on Him and the things that He gives to us that we simply cannot have from any other source. I know that salvation is of God. God provides that. We could not have it without Him. But it goes beyond that. He describes the care that God gives to us. Let's open up this psalm and break it down. I want to make three points about it from three perspectives. And I want to begin with the first three verses and look at the shepherd's provision. The very first verse of this psalm sets the whole theme for the psalm. It begins with the Lord, and if you notice the way that the word Lord is written there, it is the O-R-D in the word is lower capital or smaller capital. And in the King James Version, New King James Version, that is used for the Hebrew word Yahweh. The American Standard Version translates it as Jehovah. Yahweh is a name that was often used in the Old Testament, and it sets forth the idea and the picture of the absolute faithfulness of our God. The idea behind the word is a covenant-keeping God. The psalmist said the Lord is, and again the emphasis is on the personal pronoun, the Lord is my shepherd, David said. Shepherd is the one who provides for and protects the sheep. A sheep cannot survive without having someone to provide, to protect, and to guide. They simply cannot survive. And then David declared, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Footnote in the New King James Version says that word also has the idea of lack. You see, the word want here is from the perspective of the shepherd's provisions for his sheep. It speaks of the means that we need in this world. It speaks of not being in destitution. It's not used as we use the word want in our world today, talking about I want this and I want that and all these things that we want. It has to do with providing for our needs. I thought about another psalm of David, 37, in verse 25. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. God provides. Go with me to verse 2 as the idea of the shepherd's provisions continues. And then he says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Years ago, I ran across a book, a well-known and well-written book. It was written by a man by the name of Philip Keller. And Mr. Keller was a shepherd by trade. And from his standpoint of the knowledge of being a shepherd, that coupled with his understanding of the Word of God, he wrote this book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. Now, I'm not a shepherd, and I don't know all the details about being a shepherd and the details about sheep, but he had some very interesting observations about it. And he noted in this book concerning this phrase that a shepherd noted that it is near impossible for a sheep to be made to lie down unless four necessities have been met. These four necessities he lists as number one, free from fear. If a sheep is in a situation that it is fearful because or of something, it will not lie down. Number two, free from friction with other sheep. Number three, free from pest. And we'll comment more about that a little bit later. And number four, a sheep will not lie down if it's hungry. It is the shepherd that is responsible for meeting the needs of these four things, all four of them. He also notes that the very presence of the shepherd in the midst of the sheep will settle the sheep. It has the most impact on them. But the sheep, the shepherd provides for the sheep in these four areas and as well as others. And then in the phrase, makes me to lie down in green pastures. The idea behind that is that the provisions spiritually are plenteous. The psalmist said, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Sheep, like humans, depend heavily on water to maintain proper health. And if not enough water is present, dehydration and then sickness is nearby. And of course, sheep prefer the still waters. But if a sheep is left to their own, they will not necessarily and naturally pick clean water. They will drink from polluted water and they will become sick. And it is up to the shepherd to know the source of sufficient and healthy water for the sheep and to lead the sheep to it. In verse 3, He restoreth my soul. There's so much in that we could comment about, but let me make observation from Mr. Keller's book. He spoke about a cast down, quote unquote, sheep. He described a cast down sheep as one who has turned over on its back and it cannot turn back over on its own. And again, in need of the shepherd, depends on the shepherd to correct that situation. Mr. Keller observed that if it is not done within a reasonable time, that the sheep very well can die. Just a few psalms forward in 42 and verse number 11, the psalmist said, Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? You see, spiritually speaking, sin will cast us down, put us in a position that we cannot on our own correct. Our loving shepherd is always there for us to restore our soul, and only He can do it by our willingly submitting to Him. In verse 3 also says, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We share so many characteristics with sheep, it's uncanny, but sheep can be creatures of habit, and I don't know about you, but I like a routine. I like a daily norm. I get a little bit out of sort when my routine is disrupted in a major way, but sheep are creatures of habit, and if left to their own, they will simply travel back and forth in the same path until a rut is worn, and they will graze the same pasture until it becomes desert. In that great prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6, Isaiah said, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one on his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. If left up to us, we're going to wander off course. We're not going to find the right way. But God has provided a shepherd to lead us. And our shepherd leads us in a path that is for our benefit. If we're only willing to follow. So verses 1 through 3 is from the perspective of the provisions of our shepherd. The fact that we have certain needs and the shepherd knows them and the shepherd provides. Look with me in verses 4 and 5 and observe the shepherd's protection. Verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I want us to have a proper understanding, and I must say I learned much from Mr. Keller's book about the practices of shepherd, and he tells of the common practice, both in the first century as well as even today, of the shepherd leading the sheep into the mountains in the cool weather during the summer months, and then he would tell about the return trip home as the weather started turning cool again. And you take and make a spiritual application of that. As Christians, we are striving to move onward and upward, striving for a higher ground, spiritually speaking, for a closer walk with God. interesting observation is the wording here, and we're very familiar with this verse and the wording. And David said, "For though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," did you notice that he said, "We walk through the valley"? He didn't say we died there. He didn't say we stopped there. We walk through the valley. You see, for a faithful Christian, death is not the end. That's the great hope that we have in Christ. When we face that chilling hand of death and we make that journey through that valley, we know that there is something more on the other side. We know as a faithful Christian that it is not the end. That is merely a doorway or a threshold into eternal life, into a perfect life. Remember Jesus' words as He commissioned His apostles to go into all the world, and He said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," literally the consummation of the ages. He speaks of the rod and the staff, how they comfort me. And the rod and the staff, they were very important to the shepherd. They served as a means of correction and guidance, and they served as a means of defense from the enemies, protection from attacks and from harm. If you've lived any time as a child of God, you understand the need that we have of discipline. You cannot be a disciple without discipline. The discipline comes from our Lord through His Word. Revelation 3:19, Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." He guides us in a safe direction. That is part of the discipline. And He will provide protection against the attacks that will happen from the enemy. It's not if it might. And from that standpoint, the protection that is given, the discipline that is offered, is a comfort seen in that rod and in that staff. Now let's take verse 5 and break it down into three sections here. In verse 5, and I have to admit to you that I was guilty of maybe misinterpreting this. Verse 5, the first part says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." And we've all heard the explanation that this is in connection with a meal, that how God so provides and protects that even in the midst of our enemies, that we can sit down and observe something that is usually only done in a peaceful time, sitting down at a table for a meal. I don't have a problem with that, and it doesn't really rob from it, but there's a deeper meaning there from the standpoint of a true shepherd at this time. You see, in the context, it has the idea of that area to which the shepherds would lead the sheep during the summertime up on top of the mountains. You see, the plateaus were very valuable and highly sought after by the shepherds. They were known as the tablelands. And the shepherd would go early in the spring and scout out these areas and to make the necessary preparations and to be willing to lead the flock there in these wild and rugged lands. There's a song in our book that we often sing that is connected to the thoughts of this tablelands, or to the table that is provided by the Lord for us. And there's a song, I think it's number 72 in our books, titled "Higher Ground." And if you ever paid attention to the wording of the chorus in that song, the songwriter said, "Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." You see, the Lord has prepared an area for us that is free from the attacks. You remember in John 14, Jesus had met with those disciples. He announced that He was departing. He was going away. They were very sorrowful. And chapter 14 begins, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then He says, "If I go and prepare a place for you," God has prepared a tableland. Verse number 5, continuing in the middle of the verse, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Let me go back to verse 2. I told you to make a note of this, where the statement, "It maketh me to lie down," and those four things that prevent a sheep from lying down. And one of the four, I believe it was number 4, mentions the pest, free from pests. And during the summer months, these pests would just absolutely torment the sheep, sometimes even unto death. And the good shepherd is the one who would take the time to individually and personally anoint the head of the sheep with an oil that they would have that would prevent these pests from tormenting the sheep and to allow them to graze in peace. Again, making a spiritual application of this, our good shepherd anoints our head with oil. The oil is the Word of God. He has anointed us and He gives us a great peace. I like Paul's wording of it in Philippians 4:7 when he's described it as a peace that passeth understanding. The third part of verse 5, again, one that I believe is taken out of context and misapplied. My cup runneth over. We often use that in the connection of the abundance of the things that we have been blessed with. And I know that applies, that the spiritual blessings that God has given to us could be described as a cup that is overflowing, that the blessings that we have, we sing the song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. We've been so blessed, it would be very difficult to name them all, wouldn't it? But the context of this statement has to do with the protection that is given to the sheep. The protection that God has given from the agony and the suffering of life. You see, this suffering, this cup is connected with the cup of suffering. And numerous other times in the Bible, it's described this way. Especially in the first century and at other times, the shepherds would often communicate in the traveling to and from these table lands how that the sheep would suffer and the shepherd along with them. Matthew chapter 20. The mother of two of the disciples came to Jesus and asked for a special place in the coming kingdom. There's a misunderstanding there, you realize. And He responded to this request by asking, "Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of?" Verse 21. It's talking about the cup of suffering. And in Matthew 26, as Jesus is there in the garden just before His crucifixion, and you remember He goes into the garden and He's praying to God, and if you've ever done a study of the in-depth study of the language, it describes He went a little further and He fell on His face. And in the language, He fell over and over again. He was in anguish mentally. And He prayed to God and He prayed and said, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou will." You see, in this context, this cup of suffering, the abundance that is associated with life. And if you think about it, you know, I don't know anybody could ever top the suffering of Job. But you know, we all could begin making a list of the things that we have had to suffer in life. Can't you? Life in and of itself is connected with suffering of some sort or another. Can you imagine, just as a side note, can you imagine those things in our past that we've had to suffer and those things that are yet to come? Can you imagine dealing with those things without God and without His Word? There's no way. Although our cup of suffering may be full and overflowing, Jesus Himself has already experienced those things and He's there with us. He's there for us. Go back and reread the life of our Lord as recorded in those four accounts and see the suffering that He endured. And then turn over to Hebrews after reading those things and observe the Hebrews writer's statement in chapter 4 and verse number 15. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." It's stated in the negative, but the Hebrews writer says, we're not serving a high priest who don't know what we're going through. He knows. He endured. And there's that statement, yet without sin. He did it perfectly. In closing, verse 6, the last point, we'll note the shepherd's preservations. Verse 6, the first part, we'll break it down into two sections. Verse 6, the first part, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." What a beautiful picture and beautiful statement here, because thus far the psalmist has emphasized the tender provision and the tender protection that the Savior can give to us. and under such care that He has given. Sometimes sheep do not fully comprehend all the great blessings that we have, the very blessed life that God and only God can provide. As God's sheep, and we throughout the Bible are compared to sheep, we're blessed to have Him as our shepherd to watch over for our well-being, willing to even lay His life down for us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days, as long as I have a good shepherd. You know, sheep can depart from the shepherd if they so choose. A loving shepherd seeks out to bring and to restore that sheep, but it's up to us to follow. And then the psalm, the last part of verse 6, it opened up this psalm with that proud and joyous statement, "The Lord is my shepherd." And now it closes with an equally positive affirmation, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As this psalm closes, we're given a picture of a sheep that is so utterly and completely satisfied with its lot in life, so fully contented with the care that the shepherd has given, it is considered to be at home. You know, there's something about home that just rings in our minds and in our hearts, place of comfort. It's a statement from the sheep's perspective. Has no desire for anything to change. And the word house is often used to refer to a family, or in this context, a flock. And although there may be hardships, and there will be hardships, often because we chose to follow the Good Shepherd, there's no better place than to be under the protective care of the shepherd. The great comfort and joy in knowing that we are a part of His flock. The Lord is my shepherd. As sheep, as Isaiah said, we've all gone astray. And because of the love that He has, He has sought us out to make a way that we can have the salvation we desperately need. But it is now up to us to be willing to follow the shepherd. Not merely to salvation, but a continued daily walk following the shepherd. Because He has our best interest at heart. He'll lead us, He'll provide, He'll protect, if we're willing to humble. I love this psalm. I've read it numerous times. I think that in just about every single funeral that I've spoken, that I've used this psalm at some point, most times at the graveside. To think of what God can give to us. This psalm, as I read this psalm at funerals, it's not for the person who is deceased and passed through that valley. It's for us, that knowing that there will come a day that we will pass through. And while in this life, to be mindful of the fact that we have a shepherd and that we must be willing to follow Him. Are you willing to follow? You must come to Him first. To come to Him, you must have faith that He is the Christ. By that faith, you must be willing to obey Him. That's humble submission. He said on one occasion, "Why call you me Lord, Lord?" Means Master. "And do not the things which I say." You can't do it. You can't have someone as Lord and not obey them. So are you willing by your faith to obey? To be willing to repent or turn away from the sin that is in your life. To publicly confess Him before others, that He is the Christ, the Savior of this world, and then to be immersed in that watery grave where the blood is applied and sins are washed away. You're willing to do that today? If not a Christian, why not today? As a child of God, we must be willing to continually follow our Savior, our Shepherd. This morning, if you've wandered away from the flock by allowing sin in your life, why don't you acknowledge that sin? Ask His forgiveness. If it's a public sin, do so publicly. We're here to pray with you and for you. If you're subject, why don't you make it known now?
You have been listening to the Back to the Bible radio broadcast, brought to you by the Creston and West Jefferson Churches of Christ. If you would like to know more about the Church of the New Testament, or the commandments God has given that will add you to His church, or if you have a question about something we have said on this program, please contact us at Back to the Bible, 130 Robert Street, West Jefferson, North Carolina, 28694. Or you may call 336 336- 646-5615. You may also visit us on the web at wjchurchofchrist.org. We thank you for listening this morning and hope you will listen again next Sunday morning at 7:30, and that your desire will be to go back to the Bible.